Would like you to turn, please, with me to the Psalm 116, Psalm that we read together in church just a few weeks ago. And while you turn it up, I'd like to say, first of all, that I hope you haven't come tonight to hear me talk about myself, because that won't take very long. You'd be very disappointed. My life's just very ordinary life. But I can say tonight that I've been blessed and kept by God, who is extraordinary, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to tell you about a wonderful God and Saviour and what he has done for me and what he can do for you. And I would just like to read this verse, Psalm 116, verse 1, that simply says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And first of all, tonight I'd like to say that my God is a God who saves. And God has been so merciful and so gracious to me. I've had one, which is probably one of the greatest privileges that any child could have, and that was of being born into a Christian home where both my parents were saved. They loved the Lord and they had a desire to serve the Lord. There are 7 of us in our family, 1 older brother, and then I'm the eldest of 6 girls. And in our home, as I said, my parents loved the Lord. And when I was very young, my dad felt the call of God into full-time service, and he entered into what was then the theological hall of our denomination. And we lived in Warren Point in County Down at that time, so we lived down at the seaside. And after being in the theological hall, he moved as a student minister to the new church that had just opened in Mullaglass. And when he completed his studies, then we moved to the church in Port Glenone, where he served the Lord for over 30 years until his retirement. And so from my earliest days, I was used to moving house from place to place, and little did I know it then what I seemed destined to live in the manse. But what a privilege it was to have a happy and a stable home. Many children don't have that nowadays, and I thank the Lord for that. But most importantly, it was a godly home. And so from our earliest days, not only were we brought to church and Sunday school, but we were taught at home that the importance of being saved. Our parents taught us when we were very little. And so from our earliest days, from I was just a little girl, I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew that if I ever was to be in heaven, I needed to have my sins forgiven. And that the only one who could do that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was very young, and of course I didn't understand all of the theology behind it. But I did know very simply that if I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me for my sin, that he would do that. Because it says in God's word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that whosoever includes little children, and that included me, and it includes you here tonight, no matter what age you are, that whosoever means you, and it means me. And you know, that's what I did. I was only 5 years old. My dad had been reading the scriptures with myself and my brother and sister. There were only 3 of us at the time. That evening, as he always did, and he had the joy of pointing the 3 of us to the Lord. You ask tonight, can a young child really be saved? Well, I can say tonight, yes, they can. Maybe there are boys and girls in the meeting tonight, and I would say to you that the Lord Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you, and he wants to save you now when you're young. And boys and girls, you need to be saved. Maybe like me, you have been brought up in a Christian home. That's not enough, just that mum and dad are saved and ready for heaven. You need to ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. That's why the Lord Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me. The devil says you're too young, but the Lord Jesus says, come unto me. He says, give me your heart. And I'm so glad that I came to know the Lord and trusted him as my Saviour when I was just a little girl, and to know the joy of having my sins forgiven and being ready for heaven, but also of knowing that, and of proving that the Lord Jesus is the dearest friend. And I have proved over many years, and I can say with one of old, that truly he faileth not. I must say that when I was young, there were times when I lacked assurance of salvation. You see, I was growing up and I was hearing the gospel, and I was beginning to understand it better. And I wanted to know, I wanted to be really sure that I was saved. I wanted to be really sure that I was going to heaven. You know, that men and women and boys and girls say, that is the most important matter that you need to be sure about in this life, that you're saved and that you're ready to meet the Lord. But there were times when the devil would come to me and he would make me doubt, and there would be those doubts in my mind, and I would think back, and I would think, well, I was only little then. Did I really get saved? Did I really know what I was doing? And one evening I was reading in Psalm 71, and I'd like you to turn to Psalm 71. And I was much older then. I wasn't a little girl anymore. I was much older, and the devil had been troubling me as to whether or not I really was saved. And the Lord spoke to me from his word. And first of all, in verse 1, it says, "In thee, Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." You know, God, my daddy often told me, is not the author of confusion. And then I read on to verse 5, and it said there, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." And that night, those words really stood out. "Thou art my trust from my youth." And that night, the Lord assured me from his word that he had heard my voice, and that he had saved me way back in my youth, even when I was just a little girl, that I really had got saved. And every time that the devil comes to tempt us, we need to turn to God's word. And that's the verse that I turned to, that verse that the Lord gave me. And he said, reassured me that I had put my trust in him. And he said, "Thou art my trust from my youth." And so the Lord reassured me. And I wonder tonight, are you saved? Are you ready to meet the Lord? And it is the most important question that you need to have settled. And I would say, don't leave this meeting tonight until you can say in the words of Psalm 116, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice." But you know, our God is not only a God that saves, he is a God that keeps as well. And as I look back over all of my life, I can truly say that so often I have failed the Lord. Going through school, there were times when I didn't witness for the Lord, when I could have and when I should have witnessed for the Lord, and yet the Lord kept me. And of course, it is the Lord that keeps us. We don't keep ourselves, and he kept me very much from the vices and from the sins of this world. And growing up, the Lord was so good to me, and I can give testimony tonight that he gave me so many blessings and so many privileges to help me to grow as a young Christian. I had indeed a Christian home. I had a church to go to where God's word was faithfully preached. I thank the Lord for faithful Sunday school teachers and those who helped in the children's meeting and for the youth fellowship. And I must say in passing that I really loved the youth fellowship. Indeed, it was something that was very special to me as I look back to my teenage years as I was growing up. Because at school, the same as everybody else, there were young people and they would talk, maybe boast about what they did at the weekend and how they'd been out. Maybe they'd been out partying or drinking. And I can honestly say tonight, I never once envied them. I never once wished that I had been where they had been. I was so thankful that I too had somewhere to go at the weekends. My friends and my enjoyment were found in God's house, and I especially loved in the meeting of the youth fellowship, where we were faithfully taught God's word, but we also had great fellowship and great fun together. And there were the youth rallies and there were the youth weekends, and I'm sure many tonight are familiar with the Castlewellan youth weekend, and that was a real highlight for us whenever we were young. I didn't need the empty, ungodly entertainment of the world that left young people and older people with headaches and with regrets. But God has filled my life with good things. And I can say tonight that the Lord had given me that good part, like Mary, that couldn't be taken away from me. I would encourage the young people, especially tonight, young Christian, church isn't for old folks. God has given you your church and all the services in it as a means of grace. And that's what they were to me. They were a means of grace, and they're there to help you and to encourage you. I'd encourage you to attend all the meetings, if at all possible, and whenever you can, because it'll do you good. And the sad thing is, both for young and old alike, whenever we don't attend upon the means of grace, then that leaves a void in our lives, and sadly the devil comes in and he fills it up with something else to take us away from the Lord. The Lord saves and the Lord keeps, and I'd like to honour the Lord for his mercies and for his goodness to me. But I'd like to say also tonight that our God is a God who guides us through this life. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the book of Luke and to the chapter 12, first of all. In the book of Luke, verse 48. Book of Luke, chapter 12, and the verse 48. I just want to read the last part of verse 48. This verse has often been a challenge to me throughout my life, and especially this latter part where it says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." God saved me, he had kept me, and he had blessed me. And there are many in this meeting tonight, and you can say the same. God has saved you, and he's kept you, and he's blessed you abundantly. And why had the Lord done this for me, and why has the Lord done this for you? Is it so that we can, in the words of the hymn, be carried to heaven on those flowery beds of ease? You know, when I was coming through my teenage years and coming to the end of school and considering what lay ahead of me, the Lord really laid upon my heart what he had done for me and how he had blessed me. And you know, the Lord has saved us to serve. And I realized that the Lord wanted me to give all of my life to him. Those very well-known verses in Romans chapter 12, you don't have to turn to them, but they'll be familiar to you. And they say, Paul was speaking to the Romans, and he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I was about 16, I was in a Christian bookshop, and I bought a bookmarker with my name on it, and it said on it, pardon me, that Helen meant light. But there was a little verse on it, and the verse was really a summary of a verse that we find in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. And the little summary simply said, I will give thee for a light. And every time I looked at that little bookmarker, I felt that God was challenging me, that God wanted me, as he does all of the Lord's people, to serve him, to be a light, and to be a witness for him. When I was about 17 years old in Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher was speaking from the book of 1 Chronicles. And I would like you to turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles tonight. And he was speaking very specially from 1 Chronicles chapter 29 at the very end of the book. Now, if you look at the end of verse 5, those words are very familiar words to us all. They really stood out and they really spoke to me. And it says there, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? I went home and I thought about those verses, and Sunday continued as usual. But when I went to bed that night, I felt that I wanted to look at those verses again. And what I did was I read chapter 28 and 29. And just to put the verse in context and to look at all that our Sunday school teacher had been teaching us at that particular time. And you'll be familiar with it as you look at chapter 28. You'll see how David had gathered the people together. And he was telling them of how he had a great desire to build a temple for the Lord. But God had told him that it wasn't his will that he should build that temple. In fact, it was his will, and he had chosen Solomon to build the temple. And he had gathered the people together, and he was telling them that. You'll see that in verses 5 and 6, how he relates to them, how God had shown him that he had chosen Solomon both to be the next king and to build that temple. But then he went on, and he spoke very personally to Solomon. And the Lord really spoke to me that night as I was reading these verses quietly in my own bedroom. In verse 9, it says, And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And then in verse 20, And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And up until that time, I had been praying and seeking the Lord as to what I should do when I would leave school. But that night in particular, the Lord really put his hand on me. The Lord spoke very clearly and very loudly to me from his word in a very insistent and in a very irresistible way that the Lord wanted me that night to consecrate my life to him. It wasn't something to think about, but those words really stood out to me in verse 5 this day, and also the words in verse 10 of chapter 28, Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee. And that night a battle went on in my heart, but I really felt that night I needed to make a decision. And to be perfectly honest, I felt that if I didn't yield my life to the Lord that night, that I would be going my own way. And I was afraid of the consequences of that. And so I got out of my bed and I knelt at the side of my bed and I consecrated my life to the Lord. And I said to the Lord that he could take my life and use it whatever way he will. And you know, a great peace and a great joy came into my heart. It's interesting to read in verse 9 that when David challenged the people in verse 5 to consecrate their lives, consecrate their service to the Lord, and they did that. In verse 9 it says that the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly. And the Lord gave me a great peace. The Lord didn't show me that night what the Lord wanted me to do. The Lord didn't tell me that night where he wanted me to go. But the Lord promises in his word over and over again that he will guide us. You know, I have proved the Lord to be a God who guides us. You know, he gives a very special promise of words that we're so familiar with in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And I have proved that over and over again, that if you acknowledge God in your life, he will guide you. He will direct your path. He will show you the way to go. That's not a promise for some sort of special Christians or people that are different from everybody else. That's a promise for every believer. That's a promise for every child of God, not just in seeking God's will for your life, but in every decision, every step that you take in life. God says if you acknowledge him, then he will direct your path. So as I say, I didn't know what the Lord had in store for me. I presumed at the start that the Lord would want me to go to the Whitfield College of the Bible and train, and one day I would be a missionary. And I talked to my dad about it, and he encouraged me to pray about it, and he encouraged me to perhaps go on and get some formal training that would be useful in the days that would lie ahead. But also at that time, it was round about the end of 1997 into 1998. At that time, and our denomination, as a result of what was happening in the schools, had opened some independent Christian schools. But at that time, the presbytery of our church was also rolling out a new scheme. And in the same way that our ministers were trained in our own Bible college, then they wanted teachers for the Christian schools to be trained in our own schools. Now, it was a new scheme. I heard about it. I heard it being talked about, and I began to be interested in that scheme. And as time progressed, then I began to become more interested in it. I was interested in teaching. I had applied to Stranmillers Teaching College, and but I was at school. I was aware of the issues that our presbytery were concerned about in school, the advancement of ecumenism and many other things that were happening at that particular time. And as time went by, I felt the Lord showing me through his word that he didn't want me to go to Stranmillers. Well, the A-level results came out, and I also had applied to Jordanstown to do speech therapy as well. I could turn down the Stranmillers one with peace of mind. I knew that wasn't what the Lord had for me. But I still had this offer from Jordanstown. But at the same time, there was this unknown path, this untried path of a teacher training under our own presbytery in the Christian schools, which at that particular time, I didn't really know anything about. And I had a decision to make, and I had to make it that night because the reply had to be posted away the next day. There's no such thing as emails then. Clicking the button, I had to post it, and I had that decision to make. And as my dad often said, he said, "The Lord's not the author of confusion. The Lord will show you what he wants you to do." And so I went to my bedroom, and I prayed much that day, and to be honest, I agonized over it, and I asked the Lord to show me very clearly what he wanted me to do. And I was reading in Ezekiel chapter 3. And if you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 3, and it's very interesting that our brother on Tuesday night also quoted from these words as well. And it's Ezekiel chapter 3, and he spoke to me from verses 5 and 6. I was sitting with an offer in my hand for Jordanstown to do speech therapy, to work with people who had language problems. I'd been there on my work shadowing from school, and I had a little idea of what would be involved in that. But the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me, "For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand." And the Lord showed me very clear, and I share that with you tonight just to reinforce that when we acknowledge God, he does direct our paths. Our God is a God who guides us. And so I knew for certain there and then what the Lord wanted me to do. I felt he had been putting on my heart to go to do the teacher training under our presbytery and independent Christian schools. And so I told that to my dad. I sent away the reply. They said I wasn't going to Jordanstown. And my dad contacted then the Reverend Foster about the teacher training program. Now, whenever the Lord begins to work, then things do happen very, very quickly. And Within a week, I had been interviewed and accepted, and I found myself in Kilskerry. I had never been there in my life before. I was an hour and a half away from home, and I must say, until that time in my life, apart from one holiday, family holiday to Listenagh, and one day a trip to Omagh, both of them when I was about 11 or 12 years old, I had never been west of the Bann. For me, the world ended about Mockrafelt or Cookstown. So little did I know what the Lord had in store for me. But I was very happy there. I was serving the Lord. And I just knew that I was in the centre of God's will. And at that time, I thought, well, that was where I was going to be for the rest of my life. But no, our God, he guides us and he provides for us. I did mention Omagh. Well, I had a drive through Omagh every week to get to Kilskerry, but I never had any errand to stop there. As I said, my world ended about Mockrafelt or Cookstown if there was a youth rally on. And that's so what happened in February of 99. I was at a youth rally in Mockrafelt, and a face I recognised from Omagh had travelled there as well. And to cut a long story short, I now had a reason to stop in Omagh, and 2 years later then we were married. And I can testify to the Lord's goodness and his grace and his guiding hand and his gracious provision in my life. And I can truly say that when we allow the Lord to lead and we are willing to follow, then we will prove in the words of those verses that we read from Romans chapter 12 that God's word is good, God's will is good, and it's perfect, and it is acceptable. It's not always easy, not by any means, but life isn't easy, and rather it is a blessing to just follow the one who knows the way. And in God's goodness and grace, he brought into my life someone who was saved, who loved the Lord, and at that time who had a desire to serve the Lord. And then we were married in July of 91. And James started Bible College that September. He was placed as a student. Then a few years later in Convoy, that work was established and constituted. We were there for about 11 or 12 years, and then we moved to Market Hill. And now, in God's goodness, he has brought us here to Enniskillen. And I can truly say in the words of the hymn that we were singing there, those words that we sang on our wedding in verse 4, every need his hand supplying, every good in him I see, on his strength divine relying, he is all in all to me. And I can testify tonight that our God is faithful. I have failed him so many times, and I have let him down, and yet in his mercy and his grace and his goodness, he has never failed. And I would just ask you once more tonight, are you saved? And if you're not, then I would say in the words of the psalmist, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen.
Thank you to Helen for giving the word of testimony. I suppose after that I'll have to be making breakfast every morning this coming week. But we thank the Lord for her and for that word of testimony and for a good and a godly wife. And we thank the Lord for the years we've had together to serve the Lord. And our prayer is that we might have many more years together to serve the Lord. I can remember us living in Kilskerry, shopping in Enniskillen when we were students. In the Bible College, little did I ever think would be back in this part of the world. But God's ways are not our ways, and we just have to yield to the Lord, and the Lord takes care of everything else. But we're going to just turn tonight in God's Word to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And I know our time is moving on, but I just want to read one verse of Scripture with you tonight. And it will not be too long, but we just want to share the message of the Gospel with you. It has been given in testimony, and we want to just bring you just in closing here to the word of the Lord, John's Gospel, chapter 1. And I just want to read one verse with you. It's the verse number 12 of the chapter. It says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Just with God's word open before us, let us bow, please, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in this gathering tonight. We thank thee for the singing of thy praises, the words of testimony, and bless the words of testimony to all our hearts tonight as thy people to follow the Lord, to yield to the Lord, and for any that know not the Lord tonight as Savior, that even this very night that they might come and faith and put their trust in him, whom to know is life eternal. Bless us now as we look at thy word. Speak through thy word, O God. Have thy way in our lives, we pray. and through the going forth of thy precious and holy word, may precious souls, Lord, in this gathering tonight be made wise even unto salvation. We ask, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, in this life, you and I have many special relationships, and indeed we thank God for every one of them. There's a relationship of family, of loved ones, of friends, of neighbors, of work colleagues, and all these relationships are special. They're relationships that we ought to thank God for day by day in our life. But friends, the greatest relationship of all in this life for you and I to know and to experience is that of being a child of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, it speaks to you and I about this blessed and this great relationship. It says, "But as many as received him," that's the Lord Jesus, "to them give he power," if you like, the right or the authority, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, if someone were to stop you in the street and they were to speak to you and to tell you of how you could become a member, maybe of some rich or famous family in this world, I'm sure you would listen intently. You'd be curious as to what they might have to say to you. Well, to become a child of God is much more important. Why do we say that? Because this is a relationship that affects our life, not only here on earth. Not only does it affect our life here on earth and time, but it is a relationship that affects our lives for all of eternity to come. As we would look briefly tonight at John 1, verse 12, I want you just to think about this great relationship of being a child of God. First of all, I want you to notice here the blessings of being a child of God. It says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And we can say tonight that being a child of God is the most blessed, the greatest, the most special of all relationships that a man, a woman, a young person, a boy or girl can know and experience here on earth in this scene of time. Speaking of that particular relationship, the psalmist says these words, "Happy," or if you like, "blessed is that people whose God is the Lord." My speaking of the blessing of being a child of God in our own life, the hymn writer said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood." And the lady who wrote that hymn was blinded as a child from birth, yet she became a child of God, and she rejoiced in that relationship. It was a blessed assurance to her heart and to her soul day by day. And friends, tonight there's no greater relationship than that of being a child of God. Tell me, as you sit in this meeting, are you a child of God? Turn in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 1. Look at how Paul puts it as he writes here in Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ." And as Paul commences this great letter, he is taken up with the fullness of the blessings of the Lord, those spiritual blessings that the Lord gives to his people, to those who are the children of God. What are some of those particular blessings? Well, whenever we're a child of God, we are secure in the hand of the Lord. We never can be lost. The Bible speaks of the believer, of the child of God, and says we are kept by the power of the Lord. The Lord is one who keeps his people. The child of God has the promise of the Lord meeting his needs. David testified of that in Psalm 23, verse 1, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When a person is a child of God, they have the wonderful assurance of all their sins being forgiven, blotted out, but by God Almighty. God says to his children, he says, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Tell me, are you rejoicing in the forgiveness of your sins by Almighty God tonight? And then the child of God is the wonderful assurance of the presence of the Lord with them in their life day by day.
The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, dwells within their heart. The Lord says to his children, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise that is. To know the Lord is always with you as his child here on earth. And then there is the blessing of having peace with God. The Bible says to the child of God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer at war with God. No longer an enemy to God. But now reconciled. At peace with God. What a blessing. Then there is grace to live for God, for the child of God. Grace to live for God's honor and God's glory. Grace to serve him. Grace to honor him in all the trials and all the difficulties of life. The Lord's promise to each of his children is, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work. Then we can say also for the child of God, there's the great hope of heaven, the great assurance of being saved from a lost eternity in hell. What does the Lord promise to each of his children? He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a blessing to know that you're on the way to heaven, that your soul is going home to glory, to be with Christ, which is far better. To have the great hope of everlasting life in your soul. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, as you sit in this gospel meeting, let me ask you the question. Have you the assurance of eternal life in your heart, in your soul tonight? Is it well with your soul? As you sit in this meeting, are you looking forward to heaven? Are you looking forward to glory? If you were to die tonight in the very seat that you're sitting in, would it be for you absent from the body, present with the Lord? Oh, friends, tonight these are some of the great blessings of being a child of God. As the hymn writer rightly says, they are riches more than gold can buy. What blessings these are for the child of God. Yes, the blessings of being a child of God. Something else I want you to notice in this verse tonight, and it is the way to become a child of God. How can a person become a child of God? Well, you look at what our verse says. It says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How can you and I become a child of God? Now, let me say tonight that every single one of us are God's creation. Remember that in this world in which we live. You and I did not evolve from some bang or some mysterious animal of a bygone age. God is the great creator. He created this world, this universe, in 6 literal days. He made man from the dust of the ground. The Bible says the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We are all part of God's creation, every single one of us in this meeting. The Bible speaks of God and says, for in him we live and move. Have our being. You and I are part of God's creation. But let me say this tonight, that none of us are born into this world as God's children. Not one. Sometimes I hear that said at funerals, that so-and-so was born into this world and was a child of God at birth. That is not true. That is not scriptural. That is not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God makes it very clear that you and I were born into this world sinners. Sinners lost and undone before a holy God. Sinners by nature, sinners by practice. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Think of the confession of David in Psalm 51, speaking about himself, and it's really a mirror of every one of us, how we enter into this world. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He knew he came into this world a sinner before a holy God. And my, what does our sin do? It separates you and I from God. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. And our sin condemns us, each one, to a lost eternity in hell, that place of eternal judgment and punishment for sin. The Bible says that in Adam all die. Because of Adam's fall, you and I come into this world sinners, sinners by nature and practice, sinners living in rebellion to God. This is our nature. This is our case before God and the natural man. That leads us to ask the question, well, how can you and I, a sinner, how can each one of us become a child of God? Well, praise God, the Word of God gives us the answer. The Word of God makes it very clear, even here in this verse before us tonight. And the Word of God makes it very clear that if we come before God, repenting of our sins, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as our Savior, and trust Him to save us from our sin, we shall be made the children of God. We shall have the right or the authority, if you like, to be brought into God's family, into God's fold. Look at what it says in verse 12. It says, but as many as received Him, that is Christ, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them, notice it, that believe on His name. In Acts chapter number 26 and in the verse number 18, the Lord there is speaking about those who are His children. And listen to what He says. He says, they are such who are sanctified, He says, by faith that is in Me. And by the mark of the child of God, whoever that man is, whoever that woman is, whoever that young person is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ do to become our Savior? The Bible tells us that He came into this world and He died upon the cross for our sins. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. The Bible says He paid the ransom for our salvation. He gave His life a ransom for all. And my friend in the meeting tonight, if you come by faith to Christ as a repentant sinner, asking Him to save you from your sin, to wash away your sin by His precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary, He will save you. Not only will He save you, He'll bring you into His family. He will bring you into His fold. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My, you'll enter into the greatest, the most blessed of all relationships, that of being a child of God. As we're singing about earlier on, salvation by my Savior's name. Salvation through His blood. That's how you become a child of God. You receive Christ by faith. Acknowledging your need as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner before Almighty God. You come by faith and you trust Him. And the Lord, by His grace, saves you, brings you into His family, into His fold. Notice one final thought tonight just from this verse. Notice the person who can become a child of God. Our verse says, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you look at that verse, you'll see that no specific group or religion or category of people is mentioned. It just speaks about the many. Just says, but as many as received Him. And the meaning there of the verse is that anyone who desires can become a child of God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlastingly. Think of that word, whosoever. Turn in your Bible over to Revelation chapter 22, to the very last chapter of the New Testament. And look with me, please, at verse number 17, at the final words of verse 17 of Revelation chapter 22. And look at what it says. This is about God's salvation, about becoming a child of God. And it says, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Friend, in our meeting tonight, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is in life, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been, if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing your need as a lost sinner before Almighty God, confessing your sin to Him, and trusting in Christ alone for salvation, you shall be saved. You shall become a member of God's family, of God's fold. Jesus says, I am the door, by me if any man enter, and he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Horatius the Bonner, the old preacher and hymn writer of a bygone day, speaking of what God did for him and salvation, he penned these great words. He says, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. Tell me tonight, friend, is it the longing of your heart as you sit in this meeting? As you have sung the hymns tonight, as you have heard the words of testimony, as you have looked at God's Word, is it the desire of your heart tonight to become a child of God? Is it the desire of your soul tonight to have peace with God, to know that all is well with you and God? Do you long tonight to know the forgiveness of all of your sins? Is the longing of your heart tonight to be saved from a lost eternity and to be sure of heaven when you come to die? Is the longing of your heart tonight grace to live for God, to have done with sin, to live for the glory of God day by day? That's the longing of your heart. I call upon you tonight to come to Christ, to trust in Christ, to embrace Him as your own and personal Savior. I was reading that little book this morning of Spurgeon, the Checkbook Bank of Faith, a little book of daily readings, and I would encourage you to read it. You know what his verse was for this morning? John chapter 6, verse 37, the words of Christ. What a promise. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Friend, take the Lord at His word tonight. Come and trust Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Go home saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, a member of the family in the fold of God. Know what it is to be saved and ready for God's kingdom. We're just going to close our meeting tonight by singing together a verse or two of the hymn number 243. 243, sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. We're going to sing the first and the last verse. Verses 1 and 4 along with the chorus, 243, is standing as we sing. Going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. If there's one tonight and there's a concern in your heart about salvation, your need of the Lord, I encourage you tonight to come to the Lord, to trust Him. If I can be of any help to you, I'll be no hurry away. I'll be glad to open up the Word of God with you and to point you to Jesus alone, who is mighty to save. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us in this meeting tonight. Bless Thy Word to every heart. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one in this gathering who can rejoice in being a member of God's family, saved by the grace of God, who can read their title clear to heaven's glory, to a mansion in the sky. But Lord, for any in this meeting tonight, old or young, and have not that assurance in their heart, in their soul, it's not well with their soul tonight, Lord, speak to them. Disturb the sleep of death. Lord, even this night may they come and choose Christ and trust Him as their Redeemer. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, answer prayer. Take us to our separate homes in safety. Journey with us. Bless us throughout this week that lies before us. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory, giving Thee thanks. Amen and amen.